This is Steve Paul ushering the white trash. Medgar Winters.
Al Jardine of the Beach Boys. Last thing, it's a new trip and a new generation. Thanks for
thank you, Al.
Here.
Just to interject for a second, the cat playing guitar with Edgar is... Yeah, but...
The cat playing guitar with Edgar is something, but I don't know where we're going to find this.
Okay. It's Rick Derringer going to be playing guitar with my master's voice. So.
Rick Derringer playing guitar with
Edgar Winters.
We have another guest here.
Eddie Kramer of Electric Ladyland and has produced hundreds of albums. Right?
You flatter me, thank you.
What's your name then, folks?
Okay, 30 seconds before to the stage. What do you think of this tonight, Kramer?
I'm very, very sad to see it happen. I've done a lot of nice albums from this place, and I made a lot of friends. Yeah,
Usually you're out in a truck mixing.
Right outside, usually I am. Tonight I'm inside and watching it.
Thanks for stepping up to the mic.
Okay.
We're going to move out to the performance on stage now, so I'm told, in about 20 seconds.
Yeah, no. We're waiting for a cue.
We're waiting for Edgar Winters' White Trash Band to start. Howard Smith and Mike Harrison and Allison Steele and Pete Fortitel.
Okay, bye, Edgar.
It's like everybody you ever knew in the business is out there, you know. And hi, and how are you? And isn't it a great show?
Now?
Okay. It's Bill Graham.
Graham is about to announce. Okay. Waiting for Edgar Winter and White Trash to come on right now. And the next voice you will hear should be Bill Graham making an announcement and introduction from the stage.
So we're told. Let's hope.
You. come on, baby, come on down with me, girl. Come on, baby, come on with me.
Let's get it on. Yeah, yeah.
people here tonight. Lord, I want y'all. You got to get it on.
My first epic album, The Back of the Road. job. Now with the help and the way strong God, I'll save my money.
Hey, hey, hey. You cause your home. I love you. Cause your home. Cause your my home. Cause your my home. Hey, 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 hey.
PLJ New York.
Thank you.
to the dark, to the dark. Let me see it all right. Said you love me what I have. I beg of you, baby, I beg of you, please.
Yeah. here. Do you hear me talking to your children? Ella, I want you to turn on the old light. And don't never let it die. Don't never let it die, baby. You got to let it shine. It's got to keep on shining, baby. Oh! It ain't gonna shine on me. It's gonna shine on you.
We hope you're having an enjoyable evening. We certainly are. Thank you. Try doing your thing in the dark, honey.
Okay, we're backstage here at the Fillmore again in the indigo light. That was Edgar Winter's White Trash. And Scott Muni and Mike Cascuna's here with me, and Howard Smith. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I think probably the reason the sets aren't a little longer is they're anticipating a lot more. And I think some of the people are obviously going to be in on a large jam, or at least that seems to be what some of the talk is. Mountain is standing by. I know I saw Leslie West.
Who's next? Mountain?
Mike, for sure.
Mountain.
Mike Kleffner is here, too. Mike is. Mountain is going to be on shortly, so.
That should be very short.
It's really unfortunate because I've been sitting out in the audience for most of the concert so far, and I hate to say this, but I think radio is a poor medium for the last two groups that we're on. Did you go out at all? Jay Giles band and Edgar Winter's White Trash, the stage acts
incredible,
were
incredible, yeah.
Like really, really, really superb. Really.
Mike, you've been here since the opening of film,
almost. Well, about a year after.
I think that's one of the things a lot of the people are denied, the chance to see the same act that they can hear alive, and it is an incredible difference.
Incredible. Really. A group like Jay Giles.
Okay, we're going to go back now. Stage here at the Fillmore again. Standing here with us is Bill Graham. Bill, this is it. This is the last night.
This is the Gansa Magilla, right.
The Gansa Magilla. Are you going to go back to waiting on tables in the Concord after this?
Times go bad, but I don't think so. No, I go up there to visit to see the head waiter who years ago said I would end up as a bum.
Is that what the head waiter said to
Irving,
you?
Irving and I never get along.
With the Concord.
Maybe Irving ended up the bum.
Well, that's his description of success, and God will bless him in his 17 tuxedos.
To explain the music that's going on right now,
they're
showing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs on the screen while Mountain is setting up. Mountain going on next, I guess.
Bill, do you think there's any difference in this audience tonight at all? Like, do you notice any?
Oh, yeah. It's you can't say it's better or worse. It's a different audience because you have some of the people who might not normally come here. We have Esther and her family, some Shack's Delicatessen. We have the guy from the pizza parlor across the street. We have people in the clothing stores, and some of the merchants who are in the neighborhood but don't normally come in. And we have the friends and the ushers and the stagehands and their parents and their cousins and their elders. And you have the record company industry people who may produce your records and merchandise them and sell them, but don't that often frequent our place or other halls. So you have a lot of people who aren't familiar with our hall and the easy aspects of the way we work here. So you have an audience who that may not be as physically absorbent, and if they do enjoy the music, it's much more of a mental thing. The body isn't that much into it. But you have, the strange thing is that you have the young people that are interspersed among the older people who are getting it up anyway because their energy is so high. So it affects everybody. Right. It's very much like years ago when people were always asking why aren't there fights in the early dances in San Francisco in 66, 67. Because the older people were coming to see what this new phenomenon was, and the young people were so affected by the older people being around. They didn't want to rumble because they knew it was wrong. It's like, mommy and daddy are here, and we don't rumble when mommy and daddy are around. Well, tonight it's sort of a meeting of the old and the young of rock. And it's a very strange relationship.
In my mind, this is a very, in a way, an unfair question. It's like, which child do you love best? But is there a different feeling or a different consciousness or attitude that you have between the Fillmore East and the Fillmore West, or is it just one thing?
No, I have to admit that there is one. The other one is pure emotion. I live there. I am very close to the community here. I must admit that the closeness is more to the artist, to the staff. But here, I can test my sense of theater more than I can out here because of the physical facility, that it is a theater here as opposed to a ballroom. We have a backstage area, and also I happen to be blessed with the best stage crew. They're not schlocks, they're theater people. They know how to relate to the artists. They listen to the records weeks in advance. What do we do for this group? In other words, they have the capacity, the technical capacity, and the basic mentality to
which
put
film,
that on.
Which film, can I ask you this? Which sure. film has made more money?
The East, yes. Simply because in the West, it's much more... it's unfair to say that. I poured more money back into the community out there. There's much more of an involvement with the free shows in the park and the Haight-Ashbury Medical Clinic and the...
There are many things that a lot of New York people objected about Fillmore East, that they felt there should have been that same kind of involvement in New York as there was in San Francisco.
It's very difficult, I'll tell you why, because I'm sorry that I would debate the point of the presence of a community in New York City. And if you're saying, Bill, you should have devoted your life to creating a community, you can't do that. In the beginning,
there really is no community in New York City.
What was I going to support? The clinic here? The clinic down here is supported. It's for them to tell you. If there's a high school graduation here, we had a high school graduation here a few days ago. I was the speaker here. We've had the benefits here that we think we should be involved with.
But what you're saying is that there is a community in San Francisco that doesn't exist in New York.
There was a community that in San Francisco that no longer exists. I don't ever remember there being a community here. In the beginning, when we started to put on the free shows on Wednesdays, when we said, all right, community, where are you? And all there was is the desire to have a crash pad for the heads, and this is not a crash pad.
It turned out to be everybody arguing with each other as to who would decide what would go on. I remember that one night, there was a fight over the microphone. Yes, somebody said, a microphone is structure. Well, that's it. We don't want any structure, so they took away the microphone.
I flew back into the city to have a conversation with the street people and the merchants, and Ed Sanders from the iBookstore was supposed to mediate, and I said, fine, I flew back, it's 8 o'clock. And what was his name? Ben Morea grabbed the microphone and said, this is our crash pad for the winter. It's a love-in. It's a peace-in. Don't tell us about town meetings. We're taking over. And I said, if this is the way you want to conduct meetings, you'll have to find some other way. And there was never that desire to really have a community. And I'm very sorry about that, but New York is not the kind of a city. It's such a... It's unmayorable. It's uncontrollable. It's over ethnic thighs, whatever you want to call it, the ethnic elements.
51st state is what you're saying.
I think a lot of
Fillmore should.
I think a thinner should be poured over New York. Just thin it out and stretch it out or put it through a sifter. Yeah.
But I think the people in New York are less concerned with each other than they are on the West Coast.
But New York City. You can say all the negative. There are so many negatives about New York, and yet you have to come back here. This is Tar City. This is AC/DC. This is the challenge.
It's also the central energy force for a lot of things that go on all over the world.
And then the people here challenge you. You know, you're fighting for the bus, and you're fighting for the cab, and you're fighting for the elevator. If you can survive here, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that the fortune that I've had, San Francisco was very good to me. But until I came to New York, until the trades came here, and until the people got to recognize the kind of work we do, it didn't happen really on a national scale until we got here, as good as San Francisco was. So we owe a lot to the success of Fillmore East and to the people who came here.
But did it cross your mind to perhaps close the Fillmore East and leave the Fillmore West run and just devote all your energy?
No, I must be honest. It crossed my mind to be the other way around, because I can do more from the theatrical standpoint here than I can on the West Coast. The ballroom limits you. The great advantage of the ballroom, that the flat level of the ballroom, I was able to play ball once a week. I built a basketball court on the ballroom floor, which you can't do here. But the theatricality of Fillmore East, the challenge of the public of New York City, made this. This is a mother, man. This town is it. You know, you get out there every day in New York City, and New York City says, "All right." You know?
Good.
Yeah, no, you know, he says, "All right, we're going to count your toes and count your fingers, because at the end of the day, look out." And that challenge is always there. And when I came back into New York to open the place here, and just when I, in San Francisco, I'll say to a kid, you know, go away from the door, they'll go away. New Yorker says, "Yeah, who are you?" I mean, that 12-year-old kid in the streets is a fighter. This is a classic, by the way, sir. It's a Frisbee film, which is a 2-minute-long thing, which is one of the great films. If we can cut just a minute, and we can all dig the film.
But they can't see it.
Then you describe it, but I'm gonna get a good film.
Okay.
Thank you for the time. Really.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Well, have a good time.
All right, let's describe the film. I think that's an interesting thing.
Okay, Mike, you've been here at the Fillmore a long time, and Bob and Tony. What was, in your estimation, the most exciting night, barring tonight now, the most exciting night you've ever witnessed here at the Fillmore?
Well, it would be different. I think it was the night Jimi Hendrix played on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, right.
That was out of sight.
I could dig that.
To me, it was the most exciting. It was like, it's hard to say. There's like a lot of other times when I thought it was really exciting. The Grateful Dead was definitely
interesting evenings at the Fillmore.
And The Who for 5 days. Yeah. The first time The Who did that 5 days.
There have been so many great performances and so many. I think it would be really difficult to pinpoint one night that may be stuck in your memory for some special reason that would take precedence over.
No, I think 3.5 years will stick in my memory.
Probably,
and,
yes. Every new good night.
What? Every Friday and Saturday night.
All right, conversely, what was the worst night you ever had? For any reason.
We shouldn't
mention age, right?
We should not do any deference to the group.
Oh, okay.
No, the worst night. The worst night we ever had in the way of a hassle was there's two nights. We had the fire when the Who were here outside, and they had the fire. And the other night was when one of the water tanks up in the roof sprung a leak.
Oh, yeah.
And the backstage area was immersed in a few inches of rain from the ceiling above. And we had to rig up this big piece of plastic over the stairs to the dressing room tower to keep the dressing room steps from being too slippery so the performers wouldn't fall and everybody would break their neck. And so we had this great piece of plastic and a couple big barrels taking the water off the roof.
Yeah, that was kind
of... That was probably one of the more interesting evenings, running around.
Was in the entertainment business always?
Really?
No, I don't
very,
know.
Very, very often misused, certainly not this time.